Yeah, I was just going to say, they didn't want to put two Republicans together. We might start drinking wine.
Boy, that's a hammer job.
He's a carpenter.
I'm getting ready for work. I'd like to reconvene the conference committee on House Bill 3280B and open a work session on House Bill 3280B.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Pazanski.
Chair, I move the dash 39s into House Bill 3280B.
Senator Pazanski has moved the B39 amendments into House Bill 3280, dated today. And now we'll have discussion. I think maybe I'll start out the discussion. I know there's been a few questions about Section 8 and also the sunset and the uses as 960 and 3280 come together and what can be done. And I'd really like to just rehash that for very briefly, if I could have Harrison Conley and Richard Whitman come back up to make sure that we heard the answer to Representative Nolan's question, I believe, and Senator Dingfelder's question, make another stab at putting that on the record. So, gentlemen, I don't know if you recall the question, but it was essentially about how wineries described in Section 2 and I believe Section 5 of the bill and Section 3 all differ in terms of their ability to access uses. Flip a coin.
We're just both very eager.
We haven't figured it out yet.
So, Chair Holvey, members of the committee, for the record, Richard Whitman, the governor's natural resource advisor. The subsection 8 language, again, is intended, as I explained this morning, as a standstill. Section 2, subsection 8 language, is a standstill to allow counties who have been permitting events at wineries to continue to do so in the same manner that they have in the past. The question of the interplay between that section and Senate Bill 960 is complicated because of the wording in 960 is essentially that if a winery is using the events authorization in 960, it does not also get to use the event authorization in 215-452 if that authorization is conditional, requires you to go through a conditional permitting process. The smaller wineries who come under 215-452 who utilize Senate Bill 960 to authorize events, there is some question about whether they can also utilize the authorization in subsection 8 of Section 2 of House Bill 3280. So that's that piece of it. However, there's nothing in 960 that says that you can't, if you are a winery under Section 5, the larger wineries under 3280, both utilize the event authorizations there and the event authorizations in 960. So that would be allowed. And then also, if you are a winery under Section 2 of House Bill 3280, but you're not proceeding under Subsection 8, you're proceeding under Subsection 2, the 25 or less days, that does not require a permit. And so it would appear that you can add those events plus events authorized under Senate Bill 960. I think that's about the best that I can do on this. So there's a bit of a question on the subsection 8 authorization and the interplay with 960, but I don't think there's any question as to the rest of it.
Harrison Conley, I see you nodding. Would you care to comment further?
You know, Chair Holby, Harrison Conley, Deputy Legislative Counsel. I hate to do that. I really came to sort of understand that question a little bit better that time than I think I did before, and I actually sort of want to differ with Richard's Fine. Take on it. In fact,
right.
I think you were exactly right, Richard, and I did sort of answer it correctly the first time, that subsection 8 authorizes conditional uses. It is, in fact, the subsection 8 authorizations that could not occur for a winery using the agritourism events in 960. But let me also distinguish, I believe, the uses in subsection 2 of this section. That is section 2 of this bill, amending 215-452, sub 2C allows for uses for 25 or fewer days. I believe that we are authorizing this. There are some nominal standards here, but I don't think that these come up to the level of conditional use requirements, and it may be that
That's right.
County has to do this under 25 thing. Even if they issue some sort of a permit, it's not clear to me that they have the authority to really condition it. They just have to make sure that it meets our requirements. So I believe that, in fact, you get these sub 2C uses for up to 25 days. That's a given. Now then, subsection 8, as you asked Representative Nolan earlier, would be conditional approvals in many cases, and these can't be used if you're using 960 and
That's
vice versa.
Chair
not,
Holt,
not buying it?
No, Chair Holby, members of the committee, I think that's the same thing that I just said.
Oh.
Dueling attorneys.
So I appreciate that clarification.
Take it for what it's worth.
And I believe I understand it. Hard to believe that, but that's why I brought you back, because I didn't think it was stated clear enough as to how this worked for the committee. And so I appreciate you adding that clarification. I think it really was clarification we needed to move on with this this proposal. We have any other discussion? We have also maybe go over the changes real quick. Beth, would you just note where the changes are in the bill?
Yes.
In this amendment?
In this amendment. So the new language that the committee decided on is in three separate places, and that is going to first appear on page 3, page 5, starting on line 20. And there are amendments in the back of the room for the audience, too. And then that appears again on page 8, line 12, and page 13, line 30.
Thank you.
And then, in addition, when we were drafting that, we realized that the section that we're referring to, the 8A and B, referring to the permits that the counties can issue if they've already issued. We just noticed there's an inconsistency in that 8A read a local government may issue, and then the B read a county may issue. So Harrison caught that and switched it so that it just was consistent, a local government in both sections. So he made those changes in the bill as well.
Thank you very much. So we do have a motion before us. Other discussion?
One more, just while we're clarifying, and I'm not sure I'm satisfied that we did clarify, but I love it when the attorneys say different words and then say that they said the same thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a friendly profession.
Section 6, we're talking about the grandfather clause for uses or structures that are lawfully established.
What page?
It's page 15, section 6. I just want to be clear that in my mind, if I lawfully establish a use or structure, that that means that it continues to be lawful. I continue to operate it in the way that is consistent with the law as well, that established means it continues to be that way.
Chair Hovey, Representative Nolan, in fact, I think this section is largely just a marker that points to 215.130, which is the non-conforming use statute. What that statute allows for is that a use that is lawfully established, when a zoning law changes to make it no longer lawful use, the use that is grandfathered in is a non-conforming use. And I think that this section essentially just points to the effect of 215.130, a lawfully established use may be continued as a non-conforming
use. So if I might follow up, that means I don't have to reestablish it under the new zoning, is what you're telling me.
You could not, in fact, reestablish it because it is no longer allowed under the new zoning law. But it's allowed to continue as a non-conforming use.
Okay. So I have a follow-up to
Senator Dingfelder.
Which has to do with the language on the next page. I just want to make sure I'm reading this right. So we're saying you're allowed to continue that non-conforming use, including, since we are setting new limits for events and income, so they would not be held to that. Is that what you're saying? So any existing operations?
Chair Hovey, Senator Dingfelder, I wish this were simpler, but it's not quite that simple because existing law does have an income limit in it. So the other changes that are brought about by this legislation, and lawfully established winery operation would not be subject to those.
Even if they're currently exceeding the income limit. That's what I'm trying to figure out, because it says including events and activities that exceed the income limit that's imposed in 215.452.
So if the particular winery in question was established and was operating in exceedance of the existing 25% income threshold, I don't believe it would be subject to the non-conforming. It would not be authorized to continue under the non-conforming use provisions.
Because it wasn't lawful.
So I follow up with my question, my own, on that specific item. I know it. We've had a lot of instances of wineries across the state before the 2010 Act came in, Senate Bill 1055, which I think is the first time we had the 25% rule come in. And so previous to that, there were many wineries that had permits from local governments around the state that were in excess of that 25%. And in fact, when Senate Bill 1055 came in, it's my understanding that limitation on income, I mean, that's where this came from, was to say, you know, these have been lawfully established as far as the income limits go, and they should be able to continue.
Right.
And so this is sort of a restatement of those lawfully established before Senate Bill 1055 came to pass, I believe.
Chair Holvey, members of the committee, that's correct. So it's gonna depend on the timing of when that occurred.
Correct.
I was trying to be very specific with my prior response. If it was established during the time that 1055 was in effect and exceeded the income limits, it would not therefore be lawfully established. But if it were established prior to 1055 and had a higher level of income than that, then it would have been lawfully established and could continue.
And I'm not going to try to defend or
yeah, whether that makes sense or not.
Well, it makes sense. I just, Senator Brzozinski.
Mr. Chair, I just want to make sure what Richard said at the very end I think is very important. If they actually were lawfully established prior to 1055, it's not if they were established prior to 1055, is they had to be lawfully, meaning permitted by the counties, those levels stay and they continue as a grandfather, and we're not trying to circumvent that pre-authorization that was lawfully done.
That's correct, and that's true under the existing non-conforming use statutes, okay. Which is Mr. Connolly stated, this essentially just points to.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Any other discussion? Shelley, would you like to call a roll call vote, please?
Senator Dan Felder.
Aye.
Senator Brzozinski.
Aye.
Senator Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Johnson. Aye. Representative Nolan.
Motion to adopt the amendment, yes? Yes.
Co-Chair Cameron.
Aye.
Co-Chair Nolan.
Aye. The B39 amendment to House Bill 3280, dated 6/23/11, is adopted.
Mr. Chair, I'd be glad to make the motion, but there's a script for this.
Right here. And before we go on, do we have fiscal statements and...
Chair and committee members in front of you, the Fiscal and Revenue Office has done an amazing job, as well as Legislative Council, and we do have a revenue statement issued and a minimal fiscal impact statement issued for the record.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair,
I move that Representative Cameron, excuse me.
It's okay, I get notes passed into me all the time.
I know, I saw one the other day.
It's fun to know what the other representative is up to.
He said the same thing.
Yeah.
Catch that out there?
I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments dated June 6th and that the bill be further amended. Oh, that's the wrong one.
So that's correct. The process is to adopt the Senate amendments.
Okay. I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments dated June 6th and that the bill be further amended but with the dash 39 amendments and repassed.
So, any discussion on the motion? The roll, please.
Senator Dinkfelder.
Aye.
Senator Brzozinski.
Aye.
Senator Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Nolan.
No.
Co-Chair Cameron.
Aye.
Co-Chair Holdy.
Aye. House Bill 3280B, as amended, has passed and goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. So, with that,
carriers.
First, the motion carries and carriers of the House. Hopefully I can do this. Representative Cameron, would you like to co-carry or...
Just get it done. You do.
Okay. Do my best.
If you need me to help you, Paul, I will. You know that.
On the Senate.
I volunteer Senator Brzozinski as chair of the committee.
Senator Brzozinski. Thank you for volunteering. And
why we get paid the big bucks.
With that, I will close the work session on House Bill 3280B and adjourn the meeting.
We need all.